With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. South Dakota voters will decide whether to allow sports betting in Deadwood. If passed, the constitutional amendment will prompt state lawmakers to pass rules on sports wagering next session. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
23 states have legalized sports betting after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a ban on it in 2018. Constitutional Amendment B adds wagering on sporting events to the gambling provision in the state constitution. Mike Rodman is the executive director of the Deadwood Gaming Association. He says sports wagering allows Deadwood to compete on a national playing field.
And we need to have those offerings that our customers are asking for. And even on a more regional level, Iowa has sports wagering, Colorado has sports wagering, Montana has sports wagering. We need to be able to offer those same options for our customers in order to drive tourism to Deadwood and satisfy what our customers are looking for.
Rodman says it could generate around $2 million in gaming revenue. That money would get routed into Deadwood Preservation and the state's tourism department. If passed, the state legislature will write the rules on how sports wagering will look. One legislator opposed to the idea is Speaker of the House Steve Haugard. The Sioux Falls Republican says the state is too dependent on gambling.
The fact is, we know that there's a certain number of people every year in South Dakota that suicide solely because they have an addiction to gambling. We should not be encouraging that. We shouldn't find new ways to weave it into our system. And so that's why we need to recognize the real costs associated with gambling and back away from it before other people get hurt.
Any state-authorized gaming will also be allowed at on-reservation tribal casinos. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
It's official. Amazon is buying land in Sioux Falls, but the company is not saying exactly what it plans to do. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
The company purchased 80 acres from the Sioux Falls Development Foundation. The land is northwest of the I-29 and I-90 junction along Marion Road. Neither the foundation nor Amazon would disclose the purchase price. The public record of the sale is not yet available at the county courthouse. Bob Munt leads the foundation.
We're excited to make the sale, and we're anxious to see what it is that they build there.
Amazon is not disclosing detailed plans for the site. Spokeswoman Kirsten Wenker responded to SDPB with a written statement. It says in part, quote, "This land purchase in Sioux Falls provides us with the flexibility to quickly respond to our future network needs, and we look forward to becoming a member of the South Dakota community in the future," end quote. Amazon revealed some information in a July grant application. It said the company plans to invest $200 million and create 1,000 jobs in Sioux Falls. That application resulted in a $2 million federal grant for the Sioux Falls Development Foundation. The foundation is using the money on a road and other infrastructure in Foundation Park. That's the name of the industrial park where Amazon is buying land. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
The State Department of Health is utilizing a newer antigen testing platform for COVID-19. The rapid antigen tests coming from the federal government can offer results in 15 minutes. Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Risden says point-of-care testing is a focus for school districts.
We're expecting to get about 260,000 of those tests by the end of December. Our first priority was to make those available to K-12 schools, and all but 25 school districts have opted in to take part and provide those tests. And that's something that they're continuing to work on relative to how that will roll out.
Malsom-Risden says the DOH will plan training for healthcare providers to administer the tests. Health officials are also providing antigen tests directly to long-term care facilities and assisted living centers. The state conducted more than 342,000 COVID-19 tests since March. South Dakota voters will decide in November whether to legalize recreational marijuana for adults over 21. The constitutional amendment would also allow medical marijuana use and industrial hemp. If the measure passes, supporters say the industry could raise millions in tax revenue. Opponents say legalization could increase impaired driving. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Since 2017, nearly 3,750 South Dakotans faced charges and convictions for marijuana-related offenses. More than 200 served time in jail or the state penitentiary. Those behind legalization efforts say that costs the state too much money. Brendan Johnson is the former U.S. Attorney for South Dakota and the president of South Dakotans for Better Marijuana Laws. Johnson says marijuana convictions have serious ramifications.
It's harder to get housing. It's harder to get into education. It's harder to get a job because in South Dakota and too many places still, it's a scarlet letter. And that takes people off of who should be good taxpaying citizens. And it makes that so that they're not. They're not going to be able to support their families as they otherwise would have been able to.
Instead of criminalizing pot use, Johnson says the state should regulate and tax the industry. The Legislative Research Council says that could raise about $30 million a year. The tax revenue would be split between state schools and the general fund. The ballot measure would allow South Dakotans over 21 to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana and grow up to 6 plants for personal use. Local governments could ban marijuana dispensaries in any community. South Dakota is one of 5 states with a marijuana ballot measure this year. 33 states have approved medical marijuana use. Recreational marijuana is already legal in 11 states, plus Washington, D.C. However, the federal government still considers cannabis a Schedule I controlled substance. Brendan Johnson calls this constitutional amendment measure one of the strictest in the country.
And every state that has passed this, which states have repealed it? Right, not.
Any substance used to alter your brains is not necessarily good for you.
That's Captain Tony Harrison with the Pennington County Sheriff's Office.
To legalize another one is a concern for me as a parent, as a community member, as an officer, and everything else.
Harrison is a former drug interdiction officer and spent decades busting people for drug trafficking, including marijuana. He says voters should look at Colorado to understand what can happen when marijuana becomes legal. He points to data from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. That's a federal program designed to track and reduce drug use. It reports traffic deaths involving marijuana have increased by 109%.
You can't smoke pot and drive better. It's not possible. And for anyone that says, well, I drive better high than I do drunk, well, that's I wouldn't hang my hat on that statement. That's not good.
Some Colorado officials say it's hard to pin down the increase in traffic deaths on pot use. The state has also seen a major population boom since legalization 8 years ago.
Just because marijuana is legalized doesn't mean that all of a sudden people are going to start driving high.
Sam Cole is the traffic safety manager for the Colorado Department of Transportation.
People have been driving high ever since cars and marijuana existed together.
Cole says last year, 49 fatalities involved someone who was at or above Colorado's legal intoxication level for marijuana. That's 8% of fatal crashes. The Colorado Department of Health reports the state has seen a 4% increase in marijuana-impaired driving within 2 to 3 hours after use. The study has a 3% margin of error. Cole says that's not a big increase since legalization, but the number is significant.
So I think it's important whether or not a state legalizes marijuana that they do outreach and education and enforcement around the issue of stoned driving.
That's because there are huge gaps in our understanding about how much and how long marijuana impairs a driver's judgment. Dr. Cinnamon Bidwell is an assistant professor of psychology and neuroscience at the University of Colorado Boulder. She says there's a standard with alcohol that's clearly linked to impairment and driving risk. Officers can determine a driver's intoxication with a breathalyzer. Bidwell says there are a lot of big question marks with pot.
With cannabis, there's a development of tolerance in certain types of users. And so when you try to look at blood levels and link with impairment, it differs between an occasional user and a regular user.
States that have legalized cannabis have set an impairment standard for the level of THC in a person's blood. THC is the psychoactive compound in marijuana that makes people feel high. The limit is 5 nanograms per million of THC in a blood sample. But Bidwell says that metric is not perfect.
So we know that medicinal users or people who use regularly might just be walking around with that level of THC in the blood, and they would have a level of tolerance that wouldn't necessarily be indicative of impairment for that type of user. However, occasional users or other types of users may have that impairment at that blood level or even lower.
Bidwell says intoxication also depends on how people ingest cannabis, whether they eat it or smoke it, and the time it takes to feel high. She says there are still many unanswered questions, partly because of the federal prohibition on marijuana. That still restricts pot use in the majority of states. It also limits the way researchers are able to study the chemistry of the plant. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
Gold prices are soaring, and the rush is on for the next big discovery in the Black Hills. But gold miners and prospectors are encountering opposition. SDPB's Seth Tupper has more.
Some people see gold as a safe investment. When the economy tanks, they scramble to buy it. That sends the price higher. In August, gold prices hit $2,000 an ounce for the first time ever. That means investors aren't just buying gold. They're also exploring for places to mine it. And the search for gold is bringing prospectors back to an old mining haven, the Black Hills.
There is a saying in the exploration business that the odds are best in the shadow of the headframe. This saying is...
A promotional video explains where there's been a successful mine, there could be more gold. Dakota Territory Resource Corporation is one of the companies that wants to look for gold. And South Dakota has the gold standard of gold mines, the Homestake in Lead. It produced more than 41 million ounces before it closed 20 years ago. The nearby Wharf mine is still active and generated 84,000 ounces last year. Now the search is on for the next big find. At least six companies are planning to drill, already drilling, or trying to open a new gold mine in the Black Hills. Many of them consider the region a mining-friendly area. After all, the mining history is long.
We've been using the Black Hills as recreation lands and coexisting with mineral exploration and mining for over 140 years.
That's Rob Bergman. He's a co-founder of F3 Gold in Minneapolis. The company wants to do exploratory drilling near Pactola Reservoir. But F3 faces opposition primarily from the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance. It says exploration could lead to a mine, and a mine could pollute Pactola and Rapid Creek. Rapid City gets water from both. Carla Marshall lives in Rapid City and is part of the Clean Water Alliance.
The mining companies come in and they just pollute and get up and leave, contaminate the water, and then they just leave.
Two decades ago, the company that owned the Gilt Edge mine near Lead did exactly that. It went bankrupt and left millions of gallons of polluted water in pits. The state and federal government are stuck with a cleanup that's cost more than $120 million so far. But that was a full-scale mining operation, far different from exploratory drilling. Dan Driscoll is a retired hydrologist. He spent decades studying water in the Black Hills. He says there are risks with drilling, but they're small in comparison with mining.
You know, you basically drill the well, the rock cuttings are removed from the well, and whether or not, you know, there's any particular quantities of water that could be produced from one of these test holes, again, they're basically just closed. And the potential effect on groundwater is really quite minimal, in my opinion.
The president of F3 Gold, Rob Bergman, says only a small percentage of drilling projects ever lead to a mine. That often takes years. And the company does not have permission to drill yet. It's waiting for an environmental assessment of a proposal to drill on national forest land near Pactola. Dakota Territory Resource Corporation wants to drill on privately owned land in the Lead area. The company's leaders formerly worked for Homestake. Other companies have exploration projects underway. A small Canadian company called Mineral Mountain Resources is already drilling on private land near Rochford. A bigger Canadian mining company, Agnico Eagle, is drilling at the old Gilt Edge mine. If the company likes what it finds, it might seek a permit to re-mine the site. And Wharf Resources is drilling near the Wharf mine, hoping to extend the mine's life. A company called VMC is trying to start a mine near the rim of Spearfish Canyon. A local property owners group opposes it. Cindy Knapp is the group's president. She says they're doing their own studies.
We were extremely concerned about the fallout in the canyon with the water contamination. We were so concerned that we hired an expert, a geologist. Geological engineering has his PhD, has been in this area for 30 years. We put our money behind it and hired an expert so that we could make an informed comments and an informed, take an informed stand.
A Lawrence County Planning and Zoning Board unanimously recommended denying a permit. The company could appeal to the full county commission that has the final say. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.